I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's stairway. And talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah.
from the tomb. He came with grace and majesty. He is alive. He's alive. God loves us so. See here his hands, his feet, his side. Yes.
Have your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection is the cry of the Apostle Paul. And it should be ours today as well. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the resurrection and the power that is available because of it. We pray, Lord, that we would be challenged this morning to recognize and to use the power that is available to us because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, which dwells in us when we believe. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Title of the message in the sunrise service, The Power of the Resurrection. Don Shelby says, we tell ourselves, I can never change or that will never happen. When we do that, we presume too much and believe too little. In Jesus Christ, God renders all of our final conclusions premature and all of our talk of determinism as simply bad faith. In Christ, God opens closed doors, brings resurrection, reveals possibilities, reclaims the lost, liberates the cursed and possessed, and changes the unchangeable. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, which will make us conformable unto his death. In a certain church marketing newsletter called the Church's Advertising Network, a campaign has been devoted to attract people to church during the season of Easter. In this public relations campaign, it is suggested that the cross be removed from the altar. According to the author, a survey has revealed that the cross is one of those symbols that the new generation of churchgoers consider too churchy. One pastor interviewed for the campaign gave his wholehearted endorsement. We are going to attempt to concentrate on the resurrection and not the death of Jesus. I have an article that was in the St. Paul Pioneer Press yesterday. I clipped just a portion of it. The entire article made me so actually kind of upset. But this part that I clipped says, the story of Jesus' death is central to Easter, but more Christians are rejecting atonement theology and its emphasis on human sacrifice as the basis for salvation. His students are studying to be ministers and theologians. They've committed their lives to following Jesus' teachings, but more and more, some reject the usual Christian talk about Jesus' death. They don't consider Jesus a ransom for sin. They shudder at hymns glorifying the power of the blood. They cringe at calling the day Jesus died Good Friday. They say a God who requires human sacrifice doesn't mesh with their idea of God who loves and forgives. That's what Philip Lyndon Reynolds is increasingly up against as a theology professor at United Methodist Candler School of Theology in Atlanta. Theologians around the country tell the same story. Easter without the cross. Rather an interesting thought, isn't it? Is it possible to have resurrection without crucifixion? It's not possible at all. And to say that we don't need the atonement, we just need to preach love and forgiveness, means we don't understand what the atonement is all about. Without the crucifixion, there would be no atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness of sins. You cannot separate Good Friday from Easter. The road to the empty tomb will forever pass by a cross. And the road to eternal life for all of us must be a road that takes us up Calvary's mountain to a place where we kneel at a cross and receive Christ our Savior there. The one who is raised from the dead is none other than the crucified Christ. In fact, I would say that Easter without a cross is a hoax. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And those that are undertaking this new belief in just love and forgiveness without the atonement have stumbled at the cross. They've not realized the power of the cross. And to preaching of the cross to them is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power and the wisdom of God. Amen? The atonement, the cross, coupled together, means salvation and the power of God to raise us from the dead. The resurrection gives the power for a number of things. I'd like to mention just four of those this morning. The power of the resurrection. Here are four of them. First of all, number one, resurrection gives the power to believe. Resurrection to power to believe. The resurrection gives us the power to believe. Have your Bibles, turn over to the book of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20, I'd like to read quite a few verses starting with verse 24. John chapter 20, starting with verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This is after his resurrection, and Jesus appeared to his disciples. The Sunday night after his resurrection. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he, Thomas, said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. That is, the truth about the resurrection is written. It's recorded for us so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, some things that Jesus did were not recorded. If everything was recorded that he did, Can you imagine the number of books that would fill the libraries and the shelves? But not everything that Jesus did is recorded. But the account of his resurrection is recorded because it is necessary for us in order to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he rose from the dead and we can have salvation through his name because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. The resurrection is given for us so that we might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and did raise from the dead and offers eternal life to those who call upon his name. Thomas, he wanted evidence before he would believe. He wanted to see. He required that he be able to see and to touch and to feel before he would believe. I don't know, I guess Thomas must have been from Missouri. You know, the show me state. But Thomas, fortunately, was allowed to see, and when he saw, he believed. But I want you to know today that Christianity is a thing about faith. It's an issue of the heart and belief. Salvation does not come by sight. Salvation comes by believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul told the Philippian jailer, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I would encourage you today to be believing. Be believing, not unbelieving. Verse 28, Thomas makes that declaration, my Lord and my God. That was his confession. He confessed Jesus as Lord and God. If we have to have sight to believe, we have no faith. And if we require that we need to see before we believe, we'll never believe. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen. That means you and I. Blessed are you who have not seen and still believe and yet believe. These things were written that we might know that we have eternal life. These are written, the truth about the resurrection is written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through his name. First of all, the resurrection gives you the power to believe. Secondly, the resurrection gives the power to witness. Mark chapter 16. Resurrection, power to witness. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. And afterward, Jesus appeared unto the eleven as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Hard hearts can never tell others because of their own unbelief. Hard hearts can never witness to the truth of the resurrection. Unbelieving hearts will not be able to fulfill the Great Commission. The message of the resurrection was first, come and see and then go and tell. Come and see where the Lord laid and then go quickly and tell his disciples that Jesus is indeed risen from the grave. Come and see where the place where the Lord lay, past tense, and now in the present tense and in continuing present tense, go and tell others that he is risen. Jesus said in Matthew 13:58 that he could not do many mighty works in his hometown because of the people's unbelief. In Mark 6:6 it says that he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. Now, some people and some places are harder than others. And you might live next to neighbors who are very difficult. Jesus came up against some people that were difficult to speak to himself. They were hard and unbelieving in their heart, but nevertheless, Jesus went to them and taught them. Our responsibility is simply to go and tell. Our responsibility is simply to witness for him. whether they believe or not is really not up to us. Our responsibility is just to tell them that which is good. That's what the gospel is, good news. Luke 24:48, Jesus said, "And ye are witnesses of these things." We are to be witnesses of the resurrection. In Luke 24:49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is given as an added power to us who believe in the resurrection, that we might be more effective and greater witnesses. And so the resurrection gives us power, first of all, to believe. Secondly, it gives us power to witness. And thirdly, it gives us power to testify. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 31. "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things they were that were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you." First of all, I want you to notice that as these people were walking and talking with Jesus, at a particular point when Jesus broke bread, their eyes were opened. They were opened to know him. This should be the greatest desire of our heart. The real reason why we get saved is so that we might know Jesus, that we might know him, that we might have a personal relationship with him, that we might develop a relationship with our Redeemer. This was the cry of the Apostle Paul, that I may know him. Paul considered everything else of lesser importance. In fact, he considered them but dung, but garbage, rubbish, that he might know Christ. It was the most important thing in his life. His heart beat after that thought, that I might know Christ, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that we would know him. That should be our greatest desire, that we would know him in full, not in part. And you know what? Each of us here this morning can get to know the Lord more than we do now. And our cry should be, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know you better. I want to experience you and the power of your resurrection and even the fellowship of your sufferings. But Lord, that I may know you. Our eyes have been opened, the blinders taken off, so that we first and foremost might know him. Open eyes give testimonials to the truth, scriptural truth. These disciples said one to another. We need to testify one to another about the Lord. The power of the resurrection gives us that power to testify, to tell each other, to encourage each other, to exhort one another, to lift one another up. What the Lord has done for us lately. What he's doing in our lives and in our ministries. Open eyes give testimonials to the truth. Find somebody to tell the truth to. Scripture says about these disciples, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. We get the picture here that they had to go find somebody and tell them the exciting news that they had been with Jesus. They had to tell somebody what Jesus did in their midst, what Jesus did for them. And so they went back to Jerusalem and they found the 11 gathered together and others that were there with them, and they testified to them that they had just seen Jesus. Find somebody and give a testimony to them. Testify to the truth of Jesus Christ. testify to the truth. The Lord is risen indeed. I know he's risen. I know he's alive because he's in my heart. He's still working in my life. This is how. The Lord is risen indeed. And while they were yet speaking, the great peacemaker himself and the Prince of Peace walks into their midst, stood in their midst, saith unto them, peace be unto you. We are to be like Jesus. We are to be peacemakers. We are to be peace tellers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And so the resurrection gives us the power to believe. It gives us the power to witness. It gives us the power to testify. And the fourth and final thing it does this morning is it gives us power to comfort. Power to comfort. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. First thing Jesus tells them is, don't fear. You don't have to fear because I know who you are seeking. Know who you are seeking this morning. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Break out of the tombed fear and experience great joy. The tomb is empty. That's a word of comfort. That comforted the hearts of those ladies as they went to see the dead body of Jesus that day. His body was no longer dead. He was alive. What a comfort that must have been to their hearts. What a comfort that should be to us today. Jesus is alive and well. And you know, as I noticed here that as they started to rejoice, Jesus came. Worship, rejoicing, brings the presence of Jesus. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The newness of life, it comes from living in the resurrection power of the risen Lord. Bill Bryson tells of traveling to Hannibal, Missouri, to visit the boyhood home of the noted author Mark Twain. Has anybody ever been there, seen? Okay, some of you have. He described the house as a trim, whitewashed house with green shutters, set incongruously in the middle of downtown. I don't know when this was written, but he said it cost $2 to visit Mark Twain's home and to walk around the site. Bill Bryson said he found the home to be a disappointment. He expressed his disillusionment like this. It purported to be a faithful reproduction of the original interiors, but there were wires and water sprinklers clumsily evident in every room. I also very much doubt that young Samuel Clemens' bedroom had Armstrong vinyl on the floor, or that his sister's bedroom had a plywood partition in it. He said that the house, which is owned by the city of Hannibal, attracts some 135,000 visitors each year. But Bryson was disappointed that he was not able to actually go inside the house. You look through the windows, he said. At each window, there is a recorded message telling about each room. As he proceeded from window to window, he met another tourist who seemed to know a lot about the house. Bryson asked him, what do you think of it? The friendly stranger replied, "Oh, I think it's great. I always come here when I'm in Hannibal, 2 or 3 times a year. Sometimes I go out of my way to come here." Bill Bryson was fascinated. "Really?" he replied. "Oh, yes," the man said. "I must have been here 20 or 30 times by now. This is a real shrine, you know." As the two of them continued walking and touring together, Bill Bryson said to the man, "You must be a real fan and follower of Mark Twain. Would you say the house is just like Mark Twain described in his books?" "Oh, I don't know," said the tourist. "Wouldn't have the foggiest notion. I've never read any of his books." Visiting his shrine, ignoring his books. Sadly, that might be a very good description of how many people deal with Jesus Christ. They visit his shrines, but fail to accept him and follow him, and they fail to read his book and apply its principles to their lives. And yet Paul said in our text, that I might know him. I'll tell you, the best way to get to know him is not just come to church to visit. It's come here to worship and to meet him. It's to get in his word and read about him, because this word reveals him. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might be made conformable unto his death. The resurrection gives the power for you, first of all, to believe. That is the most important thing. You must believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you must receive him into your heart. Without that, you have a dead faith. Your heart is empty. There's a big stone rolled in front of the door of your heart, and Jesus has been kept out. But he is here this morning, and he wants to roll away that stone. And he said, "If you would simply believe, I will come into your life. I will come into your heart. I will make of you a new creation, and I will put my life and I will put my spirit in there." And he'll live within your heart. The resurrection gives us the power. It's the proof that we need in order to believe. And then once we believe, the resurrection gives us the power to tell and to witness to others about the transformation that Jesus Christ brings when he comes into a heart. And the resurrection gives us the power to testify and to remind each other from time to time, Jesus is still alive and he's still working in my life. And we build up each other's faith and we encourage one another in the Lord. The resurrection power gives us the power to testify. And finally, the resurrection gives us the power to comfort. Jesus talked about his return, and he said, "Comfort one another with these words." Jesus is alive, and someday he's coming back for us, and he's going to take us into his glorious presence, where we will spend all of eternity. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If it wasn't for the resurrection, we would not have that blessed hope. But the day is coming when we will be reunited with our Redeemer, and we will know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. I hope you're ready for that day. I hope you're believing and you're trusting. I hope you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have, you've got the power of the resurrection at your disposal. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I must ask, first of all, if there is anybody here, you've not really considered the resurrection in a personal way before. Yes, you might have believed that Jesus rose from the dead, but I want you to know this morning that his resurrection guarantees your resurrection if he's in your heart and in your life. Is there anybody here you'd say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to believe to the point today of trusting Jesus as my Savior. I've not done this before. I've not said, 'Jesus, would you be my Savior? Would you come into my life? Would you forgive me of my sins?'" You've not done that before, but this morning the resurrection has given you the power to believe that. And would you raise your hand this morning that I might pray for you? Is there anybody here? "Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to believe. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior this morning. I've not done that before, but I would like to do that today." What a great day it would be for you the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. New life in Him is the day that you can experience new life in your heart and life. Anybody here? Just by a raised hand, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God. Then, Christian, the message for you, come and see, and then go and tell. The resurrection gives you the power to witness. It gives you the power to testify. And it gives you the power to be comforted this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of the gospel, the truth of the resurrection. We thank You for this verse that we find before us this morning, a verse that tells us about the intense longing of the Apostle Paul. His greatest desire was to know Jesus and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I pray that for each and every one of us today, that we might know You, that we might know the power of Your resurrection, so that we will not only believe, but we will witness and testify and comfort others with this message. Lord, if it requires the fellowship of Your sufferings to know You greatly and greater, we even embrace that today, that we would be made conformable unto Your death. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this Friday, the sun was shining. It was a beautiful day. Friday is Good Friday. I don't know if you've noticed, but it usually rains on Good Friday. And Sunday, I remember as being Easter, sunny, full of sunshine. It's just a reverse this year. But I hope that you have the sun shining in your heart. The S-U-N and the S-O-N shining in your heart this morning. This time we're going to be able to go downstairs and eat breakfast. The men have prepared pancake breakfast. It appears to me like we have less people than usual, so there's probably a lot of food down there. So let's stand, and we'll ask the blessing upon the food. Father, we thank You for those that have come today. We pray Your blessing upon the food that has been prepared downstairs. Bless it to our body's needs, and bless the hands that have worked diligently down there to prepare it for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.